in talking to a lot of coaches over the last several months, it's clear that this has been one of the toughest years for teachers and coaches with all the restrictions they face, with all the adjustments they've had to make, and just having to keep their people together. Whether you're a position coach, a coordinator, a head coach, you're leading people, and this is a year which needed leadership. And I know that's drained a lot of people. I know right now we're ramping up for that next season. Unfortunately, I've heard from coaches who are going to take a season off or who are stepping away from coaching because it's drained them. I hope that you are still around. Our sport needs good people. Our game needs good people, needs the leadership. And I think all of that starts with what we're going to have Jeff Traylor talk about here today. This is from the Texas High School Coaches Association convention. That is coming up here again in July, but some great messages here from Coach and how he talks about his staff, how they work together, the kind of people he's looking for, the alignment they need, and whether you are a head coach or an assistant coach. I think this is a very important and insightful podcast. So here we go. Jeff Traylor, head football coach at University of Texas, San Antonio.
Our staff, where do I start? Beginning with the end in mind. If you were to go in the field house in Gilmer to this day, right above my office is Colossians 3:23. I've just found guys that work for a higher calling. They just work harder. I tease my guys all the time. Colossians 3:23 says everything you do, do it as if you're working for the Lord. I can promise you he has more angles than wide angle, tight angle, end zone, and drones. So my guys that are motivated, they're not working for Jeff Traylor. They're working for the Lord, and I don't have to worry about those guys. I know how they're always working. I would like to say this on this matter. One of my quotes I can't stand is, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And if you ever look at that, it always says the author is unknown. And I believe the author is the devil. It's just my personal opinion. If he always keeps us looking for another job, we're never happy with the job we have. If we're always looking at another woman, we're never happy with the woman we have. And the only place the grass is always greener, man, is a septic system. And we know what that's full of. So I would really encourage all of us to try to be right where our feet are. There's problems with every job. I've never had a perfect one. Now, where I was blessed, I worked for Danny Long at Jacksonville, and I was extremely happy. So I didn't take a lot of head coaching jobs that I was offered because they weren't really good jobs. And I was happy working for Danny. So I would really encourage you, if you've got somebody that you really like working for, man, enjoy that. Suck it up because, soak it up. If you are always worrying about the other job, you're never going to be happy with that one. And if the devil could have got me distracted, I wouldn't have been as happy in Jacksonville working for Coach. So I would really encourage you. And don't be that guy that's always talking about jobs at work. Just don't do it. Nobody wants to hear about it. If you're going to do that, do that at the house. I've always tried to maintain the heartbeat of an assistant. I never want to lose that. Here's how I wanted to be treated. I wanted somebody to give me a clear-cut job description, hold me accountable, and get out of the way and let me do my job. If I don't do my job well enough, get rid of me. I always had enough self-confidence in myself that when I worked for Coach Long and Coach Strong and Coach Morris, that if they let me know what I was supposed to do and got out of my way and supported me, I could do the job. And that's the same way I try to treat my own assistants. I try to give them a clear-cut job description, support them, and get out of their way. Money. Money's important. I tried to never take a pay raise without my guys getting paid with me. Whatever that percentage was, I wanted them to get the same percentage. It just works better when everybody knows that we're all going to do better when we all win. That's just a great way for it to work. So I'm always transparent with my guys about money. I want them to get paid as much as they can. This has been a tough year on coaches, not having camps in the summer. That's how we used to go on vacation, was our camp money. So I understand that's been a tough summer. Time. The heartbeat of an assistant, man, respect their time. I want those guys to know their calendars. I want them to have at least 12 to 18 months. I learned that from Chad, honestly, and he was really good about handing you a calendar and you knowing when you're going to have some time off. So I'm going to try to do the same thing here. Right now, it's very tough because none of us know what tomorrow is going to look like right now. I'm looking for high IQ, high character guys. I would challenge each one of you, what skill set do you possess that makes you unique? When your boss is sitting down at night, what was your unique skill set? Mine was simple. I could coach basketball and football. I was a Pied Piper. I could go in the gym. The kids loved me because I was a good basketball coach. They'd follow me back to the field house. That's what made me unique. That was my skill set. I had something to offer. So it's benefited me through my whole career. But I would ask you, you know, what is that? When you hire high IQ, high character guys, I don't want yes guys. I encourage uncomfortable conversations. I'm going to repeat that. I encourage uncomfortable conversations. There are a lot of coaches that just don't like uncomfortable conversations. I like them. I like to be challenged. I like to be made to think. I don't want coaches on my staff that always tell me what I want to hear, but I also don't want guys on my staff that never agree with one thing I say. That's not going to work either. I want real, authentic conversation. I will always have the heartbeat of an assistant. I don't mind knowing when the buck stops, it stops with me. So high IQ, high character guys, we can all agree to disagree. That my guys hear me say it all the time. We can all agree to disagree. Staff diversity, when I got hired at Yoma, there was one minority on the staff. It was Keith Tate. He's still the running back coach at Yoma, Texas. That bothered me. That's not what our locker room looked like, and I wanted to fix that. One of the first people I hired was a man by the name of Elvis Jackson. He was an older African-American coach that started our junior high program, and that was huge for our kids to come through there and see Elvis every day. Max Lowe and Todd Fenton are still in those junior highs to this day. Coach Jackson is retired, and he's not worried about this stuff anymore, I can promise you. But staff diversity, I think we should try hard to make our staffs look more like our locker rooms. I also I hired guys that were different. I wanted different kind of people on my staff. I took some gambles on some guys that maybe a normal coach wouldn't have hired because they might be a little bit weird to some people. I like those kind of guys. I want different kind of coaches in my room. Loyalty. It's a two-way street. We're going to promote within. I'm going to do my very best to move from within. We've done it our entire careers. It's easy to say it. It's harder to do it. But I'm coming within. My guys on my staff know it here. My guys back home knew it, and they still know it. So it's a two-way street. I've seen head coaches that demand loyalty before, and they weren't loyal to the assistants. It's pretty hard when it doesn't go both ways. All wrong is all right. My guys hear me say it all the time, and it's okay. There's a lot of things we do that aren't perfect, but we're all going to do it. And it's something I'm really big about. Once we agree to disagree, whatever we put on the table and stamp it, that's the way it's going to be on the field. Evaluations is something I've had to really ease the tension on coaches through my career. My evaluations are not to get you. If I'm trying to get you, you'll already know. It won't take an evaluation. Our evaluations are authentic. I want my assistants to know that what we're writing down, I really want them to get better at. One place I'm a little different, I always allow the coaches to evaluate me. At the very end of the evaluation, I will say, if you were king for a day, there's one thing you could change about Jeff Traylor, what would that be? It's usually something to do with my mouth. I'm talking too long at the end of meetings onto the team, or maybe my choice of words that day doesn't match up with Colossians 3:23, if you know what I mean. So I think it's important that those guys know it's a two-way street on loyalty. A criticism. So one thing that I think helps young coaches, what do you do when you're at the Booster Club meeting and somebody says, man, your head coach is an idiot or your offensive coordinator is an idiot? One of the greatest things I would say to do is just ask them, have you spoken to the offensive coordinator? Have you spoken to the head coach? Then you're defending your head coach. You're defending your coordinator, but you might not be making your booster club president furious or your school board president furious. Just ask them. Have you spoken to them? It's something that when I was on the streets and talking, if somebody came to me about my superintendent and said, hey, can you believe Rick Allbritton did that? I would literally just say, have you spoken to Mr. Allbritton about that? He'd probably love to hear from you on that. So silence is consent. If someone is criticizing one of your buddies or your boss and you don't defend, you might as well just jump on with it. I didn't say you got to knuckle up, but I do think there's some diplomacy that needs to be used on your words, but we need to defend each other. As far as criticism that comes at you, one of my big beliefs is we should take all criticism seriously. Listen to it. Talk to your closest peers. Say, hey, so-and-so says this about me. What do you think? Do you see that in me? If your closest peers that love you say, you know, Jeff, that is a weakness of yours, it's probably something you should fix. If your closest peers that really love you and they're not afraid to speak truth in your life tell you, coach, there's no truth to that whatsoever. Dismiss it. Move on. Never lose self-confidence. The ability to self-evaluate yourself is going to be huge, man. You got to be able to look at yourself, self-evaluate, and never lose confidence. You can't lose your swag. You got to keep your swag. There's a lot of people counting on us, coaches, assistant coaches, that are believing on us. One thing about criticism that I got one time from one of my very good friends, I had a defensive lineman, jumped off sides 2 times in a row. He came to the sideline. I absolutely destroyed him for being lack of discipline. My mouth was to the crowd. I'll never forget one of my friends saying, Jeff, it just looks so bad, you embarrassing that kid right to the crowd. Have you ever thought about turning around and chewing that kid out the other direction? Made sense to me. Have I forgotten that sometimes? Sure I have. But I do my best, put my arm around a kid, chew his tail out in love with my mouth going the other way. Obviously, when you're playing state championship games or you're on TV, there's angles of the camera everywhere, and you got to be careful of that.
There you go, an impactful, there you go, a short but impactful message from Coach on how to be a part of a staff, how to lead a staff. I think he's done a great job with his approach, and it has led to success at UTSA. The entire talk is available on CoachTube. The link is in the show notes. I highly recommend it. Follow all we're doing on Coach and Coordinator at coachandcoordinator.com and follow me on Twitter at Coach K. Grabowski.